We are in a series right now called Blueprints. Oh yeah, by the way, there's this little link so you can follow along on the link tree. I'm going to encourage you to get your Bible out, get your phone out. We're going to be in this. You can follow along with us. We got a lot of passages. We got a lot of good stuff. But we are in this series called Blueprints, and the whole idea about this series is to look at some of the foundations or some of the sound doctrine of Scripture. We call ourselves Christ followers. Some people use the word Christian. We should have a good understanding of what that means and who we are. What do we believe? And so we started off this series asking an interesting question. I think a question that all of us needs to ask, like, who is God? And what is God like? Well, God is the Trinity, and the Trinity is this one of the foundations of Christianity. If we're going to know God, if we're going to allow God to transform our lives, we should probably have a better understanding of who He is. God is one in essence and three in persons. I know this seems kind of strange, and if you missed the last 2 weeks, I encourage you to go back, but God, he exists as three individual, each persons, but He's still just one God. And I know the math doesn't work out that way, but you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We already talked about the Father, the Son. Now today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, I grew up in a very, very conservative church. What I mean is that all the men, even if you weren't the pastor, all the men showed up in like three-piece suits, and the ladies wore dresses. Sometimes they wore hats. It was definitely very legalistic. Maybe that's one of the reasons why, like, when I got to college, I kind of ran away. But that's a different story. But there were some amazing people there. They loved God, and they loved God's word. And I did learn a few things, even though I was trying to do my own thing. I learned a few things, but I can't ever remember, if I really paid attention, I can't really remember us ever talking about the Holy Spirit. So I asked my mom and said, "Mom, you know, the church we grew up in, did we ever talk about the Holy Spirit?" She's like, "I really can't remember." So I talked to my dad. My dad has a great memory. And I said, "Dad, did we ever talk about the Holy Spirit?" He goes, no. That was for the Pentecostal street down the street. We were the calm part of the family. We did not talk about the Holy Spirit at all. And the truth be told, a lot of pastors have neglected talking about the Holy Spirit. And recently, I was at Starbucks. I was cheating on Frederick Coffee and Ballinger. I was at Starbucks, and I was asking someone who goes to a different church, and we were just talking. They asked to meet with me, and I said, do you know anything about the Holy Spirit? And they said, absolutely, I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Well, this morning, we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. Now, I think one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit is not an it. The reason that he is not talked about is because there's a lot of misconceptions about, like, the role of the Holy Spirit and people just have about the Holy Spirit. Now, for some of you today, because of your background, my conversation with you is probably not going to go far enough, okay? Get over it. For some of you, I'm probably going to go like 5 steps past your comfort zone. Okay? And then there are some of you, you're like excited like I am because, you know, people are going to be falling over. People are going to be speaking like weird languages. Pastor Jermaine's going to slap people in the head. You know, this is going to be awesome. And I don't mind slapping people in the head. You know, it might not be a Holy Spirit thing. It might just slap you. But anyway, and some of you are like, if you do anything like that, I am leaving and never, never, never coming back. Okay? So I just think my encouragement for all of us, it's just to relax. In fact, let's all of us take a deep breath. Ready? Okay, there we go. Because we're just going to look what the Bible says. All right? The Holy Spirit, interesting enough, the Holy Spirit literally means one who comes alongside. All right? And throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit is described as a teacher, a comforter, an encourager, a guide, a gift, a mobilizer, and a helper. And I want to focus on that word, helper. Of all the words that God can use, God also uses this word helper to describe the Holy Spirit. And in Greek, that word is paraclete. Everyone say paraclete. Paraclete. One more time. Paraclete. Paraclete is actually a military term. Okay? And it paints this picture that every warrior has a helper or a paraclete. So when there is a battle and things are about to overcome the warrior, the helper comes along and they go back to back to fight off the enemy. God uses, the scripture uses, to describe himself as the Holy Spirit, as this helper, a person, not a force, not a it, not a thing, but a person that thinks, that speaks, that acts, that leads, that guides, and even grieves when we choose not to follow him or to do our own thing. So this morning, we're going to look a little bit at the Holy Spirit. You ready? Okay, awesome. Awesome. Here we go. On your screen, the doctrine of the Trinity changes our lives because we get to witness the role of God, the Holy Spirit, as a director. John 15, 26, I love this passage. We're going to look at this for a little bit. But it says, in 26, this is the ESV version, okay? But when the Helper, Paraclete, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, talk about the Holy Spirit again, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Now, this is a directorship, not a dictatorship, okay? That happens with the Holy Spirit. And right here in this verse, we see a very important point, probably the first point of the role of the Holy Spirit as a director. And if you're a note taker, which I am, I already wrote my notes down, but the Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus. So let's look at that verse again, okay? This is such a cool, cool verse. I'm not even sure you understand what's going on, because as I was reading this, I had to read it 3 or 4 times, okay? So John 15, 26. I mean, oh yeah, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John 15 and 16 most of today. But John 15, 26, it says, but when the Helper, talking about the Holy Spirit, this is so cool, comes, this is Jesus speaking, who I will send to you. So you got the Holy Spirit, and you got God the Father, excuse me, you got God the Holy Spirit, and you got God the Son, right here in the first two, this phrase. Whom I will send from our Father. So you got God the Father, you got all three, right? You got God the Father, you got God the Son, you got the Holy Spirit. That's pretty cool. The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Not your truth, not my truth, not your truth, not anyone's truth, not culture's truth. And our culture's truth ain't got no truth. I'll say that again, because half of y'all ain't saying amen. Our culture has no truth. Amen. They need truth. So where you get the truth from? The Spirit. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Who proceeds from the Father. Again, there's the Father then. Again, God the Father. You got God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and then he will bear witness about me. He's all about pointing to Jesus. So the Trinity here, it's beautiful, right? You got this community, perfect unity. The major role of God, the Holy Spirit, is direct us towards, to point us towards, to lift our eyes towards, it's all about Jesus. Hey, it's all about Jesus. You get it confused. He's like pointing to Jesus. He's like, it's Jesus. That's still one of the major roles, an important role, maybe dare I say the first role of the Holy Spirit. The second role of the Holy Spirit, this is the one we don't like. The second role of the Holy Spirit is on the screen. It convicts us of our sin so that we can be set free. John 16 Verse 5, if you have your Bibles, please be there. I encourage you to get in your Bibles. Yeah, it'll be on the screen, but there's something about reading the Word of God yourself in your Bible so that when you have it, you know where to go. If you got it on your phone, that's even awesome, because you know our phones are. I'm not even going to get it. But anyway, John 16, verse 5, it says, but now, this is Jesus speaking, I'm going to him who sent me. He's talking about I'm going to the Father. But none of you ask me where you go, then rather you are filled with grief because I have said these things. He's like, I got to leave. And they're like, we don't want you to leave. He says, I got to leave. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Why? Why? We don't want you to go. Trust me. It's for your good and everyone else's good. Unless I go away, the advocate, there's the Holy Spirit again, another name, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I got to go because I got something for you. When he comes... Check this out. I love this. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong or in the wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. You look at our world today, it doesn't matter if it has to be in America or wherever, our world gets wrong, wrong. Does that make sense? It gets wrong, wrong. We don't even know what wrong is. So the Holy Spirit says, I got to tell these people that their wrong is wrong, okay? When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, about righteousness, sin, bad things you do, about righteousness, how good am I? None of y'all good. And then about judgment. Verse 9, about sin, about sin. If you don't like what I'm saying, this is what the Bible says, okay? About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. That's deep stuff there. We don't have time to unpack this. And about judgment, because the prince of this world, this is talking about the enemy, there's a devil, right? There's a devil. Some of y'all don't believe that. There's a devil. The devil believe in you. You may not believe in devil. The devil believe in you, okay? The prince of this world now stands condemned. In other words, let me translate to you. Devil lost. Thank you. He lost. You win. Winner. Winner. First place. Some of y'all never heard that? Winner. Y'all are winners. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. Y'all are winner. I've won national championships. You know, I've coached teams that won championships. I got a lot of chips at home. But I am a winner. You know what I'm saying? Deion Sanders ain't a winner, but I'm a winner. I'm just kidding. I'm just like, he got toasted, didn't he? But anyway, I love Deion. So if he ever hears this, awesome. Where am I at? Verse 11. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. I love what Romans 8 says. It's going to show up on your screen. It's verse 13. For if you live, this is a guy named Paul. He's writing, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Man, that's a winner. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Hear me on this, because this is going to be revolutionary, and I've changed this sermon about five times before. I took a shower at 9 o'clock. I set up. We need people to set up team. But I went home, set up. I took a shower at 9 o'clock. I'm here. The sermon turns about five times, so I'm not sure what's going to happen. But here's the thing I have in my notes, because this is like revolutionary. God revealed this to me about 15 years ago when I was a youth pastor. After youth group, they all went home. And as a youth pastor, you're like the youth pastor. You're the janitor. You clean up all kinds of stuff. And I was there in this youth room, and all of a sudden, God just gave me this word. And I just start crying, and then He revealed this to me. And this is nothing new. This is like nothing supernatural. But He just revealed to me. It was awesome. Many people get confused on conviction and condemnation. Hear me this. Many people get confused what conviction is and what condemnation is. Satan is all about condemnation. Satan brings out guilt, which leads to shame, which leads to condemnation. God just revealed to me, I just start crying. I don't know why, I was crying. And I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah, that makes so much sense. Guilt leads to shame, leads to condemnation. That's what the enemy does. The enemy is all about, you see what you did last year? See what you did? You're not good. You're a failure. You can never lead in the ministry. You're not qualified. You're not whatever. You're not good looking enough. You're not. You don't know much of the Bible. You tripped up last week. The enemy is all about focusing and getting our attention on the things that we've done in the past. Every single time. Some of y'all shaking your head. Some of y'all like, Hear me on this. The things that you are struggling with that you can't get over, that's the enemy saying, see? You're not worthy. See that thing? No wonder you're... See that past relationship? That's why it affects you. Yeah, it's all about this. The enemy's always pointing about the past. You messed up, you screwed up, you're a failure, you're worth nothing, you can't do anything, you can't accomplish anything. You think you're all that in a bag of chips, and the enemy comes like, yeah, but remember that? That's what he does. Remember the first role of the Holy Spirit? You know what he does? Points to Jesus. See, this is where the difference between condemnation and conviction is. Conviction says, okay, you were wrong, but Jesus. We're not going to focus on the past. You asked for forgiveness. You've been forgiven. Now it's Jesus. And you know what? We struggle with that. I struggle with that, being honest. But Jesus, you know, hey, Jermaine, I want you to do this. But 10 years ago, I was struggling with this. And Jesus is like, why are you bringing that up? I already forgave it. Why are you wasting my time? I forgave it. Get over it. Get over yourself. It's over. Be gone. Hey, I want you to focus on me. This is what I got for you. Some of y'all are sitting here, you have been forgiven, you have been healed, and you like to go back and dig in the trash. Why? God's like, I take care of that. You're not Jesus, you can't carry on the cross, leave it at the cross and walk away. I'm with you. I got you. You learned your lessons. I got you. Yes, there is conviction. Yes, there is things. I shouldn't have done that. I mess up. I even keep falling back into the same cycle. But God's like, if you come to me, you're forgiven, and I want you to walk free. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation, and we got to get over that. We got to understand that Jesus, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has power over your sin and over your past. And he's like, come on over. I got some stuff over here for you. I've been waiting. Like you know, my dog, when we get home, we go away, my dog is like, he's like giddy. My kids used to be like that when I come home. Like, daddy, see, daddy. They're like, dad, they're like, where's the money? You know, like, my dog is the only one that I'm like, yeah, I feel, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I feel good. Like, man, you happy to see me? He's like, yeah, I just want to go poop. You know, I mean, my dog is excited. Some of y'all know. Cats, I don't even know what they do. But dogs are like, yeah, I'm excited to see you. You're like, you've been gone. If you go in the bathroom too long, my dog is like, yes, you're free. You know? That's a little too much information. You know what I'm saying? I told you. I have no idea where the sermon's going. But my dog's giddy. I believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is giddy when you get past your past. He's like, now we can do some stuff. But we're so stuck. We're stuck over here. God's like, what are you doing? Knucklehead, come on over here. There's freedom over here. I got to move on because I'm running out of time. The third thing that the Holy Spirit does as a director, he brings us deeper into God's presence. Oh, man. I love worshiping with y'all. Here's the thing. Some of y'all can't sing. I still love worshiping with y'all. I can't sing. I love worship with y'all. Because you have to understand something. When we worship together, you may not realize this. It's not just singing some songs, right? It's we're being brought into God's presence. Right. And that's beautiful. Let's go back. John 16. I really got focused. Okay. John 16, verse 6, because y'all be here like till 2 o'clock. Verse 13, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. The Spirit of truth, he said, I'm going to guide you to what real truth is. This is huge. This is magnanimous because if we're honest, we don't like truth. If we're honest. Like the weight scale, we don't like that truth. Our eating habits, we don't like that truth. Bad haircut, you got that? You paid money for that? The bad outfit, you wore that in public? When it pertains to us, we don't like truth. And here's the thing. When someone comes to us in love, even in love and caring and speaks truth to us, you know what we do? Our reaction is? We're mad. How dare you talk to me like that? Yeah, I know I'm struggling with that, but how dare you? Like, really? Like, we get mad, and this is why the scripture's full of this. Look what it says in verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of the truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Not your truth, not my truth, not the world's truth, but the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Got the Holy Spirit working with Jesus and working with the Father. Verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And there are so many things I could talk about how you know, the Holy Spirit takes us deeper into God. One of these ways is just like through prayer, like just praying and just like giving it all to God. Here's a great verse for you, because Romans 8:26 is what it says. In the same way, the Spirit helps Paraclete, us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. There are times where we will just be there. I don't even know what to pray. And this is what I love about this. The Holy Spirit says, I got you. I got you. Just rest. Just chill out. I got you. Because there are times where I come home, I'm beat, I'm like dry. Can I be honest with you? There are times I just don't want to pray. I'm just like, I just want to pray. I'm just done. I'm tired. I just want to go to bed and to sleep because people get on my nerves. And I'm like, God, come on. And, you know, like, help me, help me, help me. And then God's like, Jermaine, just rest right now. I'm going to intercede for you. That's what Scripture says. It's a beautiful thing. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit prays for us when we can't, even when we're not willing, even when we're tired or pooped or just exhausted. And this is good because sometimes being quiet before the Lord is a good thing. Reality check. When was the last time you were quiet? I'm talking about no phone, no screen, no TV. Just quiet. It takes you about 15 minutes to get all the junk about what the enemy says about you out of your mind to say, okay, God, what do you got for me? It takes me, maybe it's my problem. It takes me 15 minutes to get my head clear. Okay, God, I'm ready. But Jermaine, oh, that's the enemy. I got to get going. Okay. There is an incredible freedom when we come into the presence of God. Incredible. I mean, do you know that when we come to worship, that we're bringing God's glory? We're bringing God glory to our Father. The Spirit is working. Do you know that when we come together and worship, that Jesus is being glorified? Do you know when we come together and worship God, we enter into God's presence, and in God's presence there is this incredible freedom to worship, freedom to call on God's power, the freedom to confess, the freedom to thank our God, the freedom to think. All spiritual freedom reflects God's glory, and then we can be transformed into something that is incredible, because this incredibleness is like we start talking, we start acting, we start looking more like Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is like, it's all about Jesus. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You've heard the expression, like father, like son. My son is getting to a point where, man, he's starting to look like me, you know, even more and more and more. He's starting to do things. He has this bad habit that he chews the inside of his mouth. If you ever noticed that, tell him stop doing it. But he chews the inside of his mouth. Well, he gets that from me. And I get that from my father. Church, how is your family resemblance this morning? In other words, when people see you in the world, who do they see? Are they struck by your family resemblance? Can people pick you out of a lineup and say, man, there's something different about that person? I don't know what that is, but you're like, well, what it is Jesus. Or do they have no clue? You know that feeling you just felt right now? That was like truth smacking you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You see how I spent a whole week trying to put this stuff together. That little thing that you felt was like truth that just smacked you in the face, right? That's not condemnation. That may be conviction. And leave me out of it. Between you and God. Leave me out of it. I just bring it up. Last thing I want to talk about is spiritual gifts. I got to figure out what time it is. Spiritual gifts. One of the joys I have as a pastor is seeing people use their gifts that God has given them. And on the screen, you can go to this website. You can take the spiritual gifts test. That gives me incredible joy. Not the fact that people take this test, but the fact that people begin to discover, or I help them discover, or other people discover where God wants to use them and how God's going to use them. And so we try to encourage everyone to do that, to go ahead online. Before you do that, pray. Before you do that, pray. Really say, God, I'm just all yours. Here he is. I just want to be honest. I want to be right. Because here's the thing. You're going to take this test, and there's some people that take this test, and they score like the perfect score. And I'm like, you ain't Jesus. Just be honest and be open. And what is a joy for us is being able to figure out like what your calling is or what you need to do and how you can serve God. Sometimes it's in the church, sometimes that's outside of the church. But it gives me joy when I meet with people and I hear people tell the story about what God is doing in their lives and how they're serving the kingdom. I mean, that is exciting for me. I get off on that. I'm just that's better than any sermon. That's better. I mean, that's just awesome to me when people can discover that. And I just want to kind of put it out there. Some of y'all young people, y'all need to start serving somewhere. And here's the thing. I'm going to get in trouble for this one. Just because you're young doesn't mean you just have to serve in children's ministry. I'm going to get in trouble with this one. Just because you're a woman, you don't have to serve in children's ministry. Ella's going to call me on that one. Hear what I'm saying? Just because you're a fella don't mean you should not go to our prayer meeting at 10:15 on Sundays. Right, fellas? Ain't nobody, none of the guys are like, we ain't going to that. Hear me on this. We have some incredible women that pray for us before the service. We need some fellas in that room. Some of y'all need to wake up. And come. You don't have to come every week. Just get your butt up, go in there and pray. You know what I'm saying? God wants to use you in some amazing and amazing and amazing ways. And one of my roles as a pastor, and Pastor Kenny's here, one of his roles is to help you discover what that is. And so if you're in high school, you're in college, you're still trying to figure out life, you know, it may not be in the leadership, but you could serve in other areas where it's just like working with kids or just, kids ain't easy, and we need workers, and Jill's going to be mad at me. But anyway, we need people, young people on different teams, like our outreach team, like our greeters. We need some of y'all young people to do other leadership things. I love meeting with young people and saying, man, I see this in you. Now, I don't do this to everybody, and so please don't feel like, man, Jermaine didn't come to see me. I just don't. Sometimes I just go. So don't feel like, oh, well, where's Pastor Jermaine? Sometimes y'all need to do something. I was at dinner with some friends, and we were talking about this and how people... young people, they want to be mentored, but they don't want to ask any of the old people. Ask some of the old people. Go ahead, do it. There's people out here that want to love on you, and some of y'all, if someone young comes up to you and says, mentor me, y'all old, okay? That's just one. Get over it. And two, God wants to do something in you. I'm running out of time. I think I went over. I'm over. All right, I'm going to end with this last illustration. Okay, this is water. That's water. And one of the things that I realized a long, long time ago, I put God in compartments. I had my life, and then I had, like, God. And so I'm going to get three of these, and what I would do is I'm going to live my life, and as long as God, this is Alka-Seltzer, by the way, as long as this is God, you know, I'm going to put God in my life. And there I go. I got water, and I got God, and he's kind of part of my life, but I kind of keep them separate. You see what I'm saying? Hopefully you see where I'm going with this illustration. There's Alka-Seltzer in this water. You agree? 100%. It's in a package, but it's 100% in the water. And so I have lived my life for a long, 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 long time where I want to do my thing, and God, you can do your thing as long as it doesn't interfere with my thing. You see where I'm going? So what the Holy Spirit, what God wants to do, this is going to get messy, hopefully. He wants to open this up. He says, man, I want you to be free, and I'm going to do something in your life if you are willing. And so what happens is that the Holy Spirit gets all in there. You see all the fuzz going on there? Don't drink this. all this stuff. You see what's happening, right? You see what's happening? Hopefully you figure out what I'm saying. When we open ourselves up, the Holy Spirit comes in, and what it's doing with this, it's neutralizing all the germs in the water. That's what Alka-Seltzer does. It neutralizes all the germs, and all of a sudden, it gets all messy, it gets bubbly, it gets like, there's something reaction. That's what God wants to do in your life. If you allow him to. Worship team, come on up. I'm already going over. God wants to do this in your life. Look at that. It's still going. And when you feel petered out, God's like, okay, I'll put some more Alka-Seltzer in there. That's what God wants to do. He wants to change you from the inside out. He wants to change you. That's what the Holy Spirit does if we allow him to. Would you close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your amazing, amazing love, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your testimony. Holy Spirit, as we sang this morning, come and rest on us. And that doesn't just mean to sit on us and just kind of do anything. That means change us from the inside out, Lord God. So either we can confess our sins so that we know who we are because of you, so we could be used by you, Lord God, to impact this community, impact our friends. There are some people here this morning that they have been in bondage because they haven't gotten over that whole condemnation thing. I pray, Lord God, that today will be a day where they ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord God, whatever I've done in the past, you know all the details. Can you cleanse me, God? Say, I got it. Forgiven. Done. And now we can just reflect on Jesus. Yeah, we learned some lessons. Probably shouldn't do that again, but I'll keep my eyes on Jesus. There are some people here this morning that don't know Jesus yet. I hope today doesn't freak you out or make it weird or whatever. I want you to know this. There's a God. There is a God. You don't have to ask if there is a God. There is a God. He has revealed himself to the world. He has revealed himself to you this morning. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know that you are loved by him. He wants you to know that he's done everything in the world. He's even died and taken your place, punishment for your sin. He says, I got you. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I come. Please forgive me. Accept me as a child of yours. Jesus, I got you. I got you. You're now a child of God. And yeah, along the way, we will have to figure out some things. You have to figure out what this means, what this looks like. But God wants you to know that you are free when you come to him. Of your past, he's already saw it. He's like, man, I already died on the cross. All you got to do is ask for forgiveness. I accept you. You know, you don't have to bring it up again. You know what? You're loved by me. I died for you. You are free. Live in freedom. Live in victory. Follow me. So maybe that is you this morning, and maybe, you just pray this simple prayer in the privacy of your heart. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Move into my life. I don't even know what that means, but move into my life. I want to be different. I want to act different. I want to know that I'm a child of yours. And for the Lord Jesus, those people who have heard my voice, whether here, whether online, whatever that is, Lord God, that you would begin to do something new and incredible in our lives that not only impacts us, but our entire community. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray in your precious name. Amen.